K-E-2 GPD. This is K-2 PCB. This is K-2 PCB standing by for any calls.
K-E-2 GQ, listening for any calls.
This is K-2 PCB standing by for any calls.
K-2 PCD, this is K-E-2 GDQ. Do you copy?
We sure do. Copy you just fine. Good morning, good morning. A little moister, a little damp out here this morning, but definitely better than yesterday. It was really coming down there for a while. How was your, kind of a long weekend for me? How was your weekend since you began?
Well, Saturday overall was a really good day. I got to do a lot. I had to reintroduce myself to my wife when I got home, but that was okay. Sunday, got a lot of yard work done, which was good. Yesterday, just kind of putzed around the house. Did a little bit of this, a little bit of that, worked on the Dodge a bit, and did some other things. How was your long weekend? How many contacts did you guys end up making?
I ended up making a clean 128, which was probably one of the lower ones. We had been in some really compromised situations as far as being able to put up antennas before. But, I'd say 128 was pretty low. I think, let me think here, let's see. Yeah, it should have been double that, I did spend a lot of time just kicking back, socializing. 128 for me.
When you first said 128, I said, "Wow, that's a lot." And then you said it should have been double. I said, "Okay." Because you guys were in a little bit of different location for your antennas this year than normal, correct?
Well, we were in a different location. I don't want to blame any of the equipment. I did have trouble with the auto antenna tuner on the one antenna. The antenna that should have been no problem. Once I manually tuned, it worked great. So is the antenna, is it the tuner? That's something I can figure out between now and whenever. But I can't blame that at all. That was only a couple minutes to figure out I should use it manually tuned. But then, maybe I just, I wasn't, like, completely focused. I wasn't on the air going. But there's been some years where it's just been really dead, really, really hard to find, you know, good contacts out there. And back in the beginning, we did not try to get a pile up started. What we would do is we would just scroll around. Oh, I hear somebody. Oh, I've talked to that person before. Scroll around. Oh, here's somebody. Yeah, but I talked to that person before. And you end up wasting a lot of time doing that. And I see some flashing lights up here. And that's that. I know Tom Lane had a call when I was leaving. Maybe part of it here. Pull over to the side. Anyway, lose my train of thought. It was fun. I'm just going to drop it. I'll hand it back to you. Okay, pay attention here for a minute.
Well, I have to tell you, I did enjoy my time with you guys Saturday night. Just listening to you guys, you know, keying up and calling out to whoever you could to get a, you know, make a contact. So that was really cool. And to see the dipoles, and I started explaining it to Karen when I got home, and she was kind of intrigued there for a little bit that wires could be antennas and that I could hide them in the trees, and so that kind of piqued her interest. And then last night I mentioned I'd like to get the antenna up a little bit higher, and I said, you know, let's still stay in the arborvitae. And you know, still stay pretty hidden, so she seemed to be okay with that.
Yeah, so, speaking of that, are you finding that you are having difficulty making contact with some of the other stations that you are hearing out there? With your signal out, or would you like to improve the reception? Are you finding that there's some weak signals out there that could be better?
That's a good question. All the stations or all the channels that I've got programmed in here come in really, really good. I've never seemed to have a low station at this point, and I'm really the only contacts I've been making really are just you and Ross at this point. I haven't really reached out on any of the nets or anything. I just listen.
Okay. Yeah, clearly, you know, I'd recommend trying to get into one of the nets or just do a, you know, listening for any calls thing on a quiet repeater and see what you get. Even if you don't get a response, I know it sounds silly, but even if you don't get a response, like, you know, there's just nobody on at that time locally, and you get nothing, it's still, you know, getting comfortable with, you know, being on the air and calling out and maybe getting somebody. And then once you do and get a few conversations going, then it's easy. I still think it's always tough breaking into a conversation that is ongoing, unless I really do have something to contribute. And most times I don't. So I tend to wait and start a fresh conversation, listening for any calls, looking to make any contacts. And, you know, and then you can keep it as long as you want, you know, depending on what the topic of conversation is. You know, a lot of times I'll preface at the beginning of the conversation, I'm mobile, I'm on my way home, I've got about 10 minutes. So not to be rude, but in 10 minutes I'm going to go. How's your day going? And do it that way. That way they don't feel like, oh, I must have been having a boring conversation and wants to get out of here. Some people just want the quick contact. Anyway, yeah, we went to, let's see, breakfast with Lynn's sister on Sunday morning, and yesterday we went up to Canada. We went for Indian for lunch, and we got caught in some good rainstorm on the way back. That was pretty awesome. This is K2PCB.
Yeah, it definitely did start coming down yesterday afternoon. I was out doing an errand, and the raindrops started, and when I got home, it was starting to rain, and then it really started coming down. And then after Karen got home from our daughter's house, we were talking and out on the back porch for a little bit, and boy, it really started coming down. So, yeah, we didn't have to water the lawn, didn't have to water the plants, and so I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, I had thrown the idea about going to this Indian restaurant out there. We've been there once before. I had thrown it out about going up there again a few weeks back, and Lynn's like, oh, you know, got nothing going on tomorrow. It's a Monday. Not thinking that today is Canada Day, but we went yesterday. And after she took dusted, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's just go. It's a long ride, but I don't mind. Give us something to do, and maybe we'll stop at the Welland Canal on the way back. We'll check the, you know, the shipping news, see when the schedule of ships are coming through the locks. Maybe we'll check that out. But it was raining. It was already starting to rain on the way back, and she really wasn't too excited about it anyway. So it wasn't too much to twist my arm to pass on that and save that stop for another day. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. When we were heading up there, we took the Peace Bridge and Queenston on the way back. Speaking of rain, here's more rain. But there was a wide load going across the Peace Bridge, Canada to U.S., when we were on our way up. And we were four cars from going over the bridge, and this is on the American side, so there's no stopping. You just cruise right over. But we get stopped here. I'm like, what the heck's going on? State police are up here stopping people, and, oh, wait a minute, there's escort vehicles. Okay, they must be moving something big. And here comes this trailer with this huge box thing coming over the bridge. Couldn't even make the turn to get out the normal route. They had to use, like, this side gate to get out of there. And they stopped and did their inspection right there. It's kind of neat to see. But as soon as they got across, we were able to go through. But, yeah, that delayed us about 10 minutes or so going up. But, yeah, it's just neat seeing large things being moved like that, especially over the Peace Bridge. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's amazing how big things we can haul on tractor trailers anymore. It is truly amazing, and how that they can swing those things around. I drove a tractor trailer when I was in the Air Force, and I still look at some of these guys and how they can maneuver it. It's pretty amazing. This is KE2, GEQ.
Oh, yeah, the back end of this, what I would call like a low boy trailer, right? You know, it's low because it's got this big box in the middle, so it's a flatbed trailer. But even on the back had this massive, like, and you probably know exactly what I'm referring to. It's not like a fifth wheel. It's almost like this turret mount in the back, and I don't know how many wheels were back there. Maybe like 16 wheels just in that back end that was sort of articulating back there. I don't even know if did that turn or somehow adjust so that they can get around turns. But yeah, this thing had four escort vehicles, so they definitely had a lot of assistance to move that thing around.
Yeah, I think that one at the back, I think it's still called a fifth wheel. It was something I've never had to experience in the Air Force. I never carried anything that heavy. But I think that's still called, I would think. It could be wrong. I'm more than once I have been. But yeah, it's like they have the fifth wheel at the trailer, or at the tractor, then the trailer, and then another pinion and lock to hold more wheels. It is quite the, from an engineering standpoint, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, whatever it was, it looked like it had the ability to not just be dragged behind the trailer, but had the ability to turn and swing the back end of the trailer. You know, kind of like you would see with the back end of some really long ladder trucks, fire trucks. Speaking of fire trucks, and it's 6:38 and I'm monopolizing all the time. Is Rostin with us this morning? This is K2PCB.
Yep, I'm just cruising along here listening to Ice Chat. Good morning, KT2PC.
So don't be afraid to jump in there. It's just like what we were talking about before. I don't know if you heard that portion of it. Jumping into the middle of a conversation. Yeah, so how was the rest of your weekend, Ross?
It was pretty good. I was did a lot more things Sunday. Me and Evelyn, I told Brad this, me and Evelyn went for a bike ride Sunday down the bike trail that runs between Town Line and I think it'll go all the way to just up to work. Was it Commerce that comes up by? So yeah. So we didn't go all the way. We made it as far as, I'm surprised Evelyn made it to pavement. So we started at Town Line, we went all the way to pavement, and she wanted to keep going. I told her, I says, we have to turn around and go back too, you know? So, yeah, by the time she got back, we were tired, but I was impressed. That's got to be about 7 or 8 miles round trip. That's pretty good for Evelyn.
Oh, yeah, the Heritage Trail. Yeah, I've ridden that one quite a bit. I haven't done that in a couple years, but I always wish they would have extended that to Alden. So maybe some year they'll figure out how to sneak that through there. That would be neat. I could almost then ride all the way from home to work And I've definitely done that before, coming out of Alden, Main Street, Santa Ridge, Westwood, to Town Line, to the bike path, and then jog through once I got up here. But you're riding in the dark for some of it. And that was kind of weird, because I'd be coming up the bike path, and then in your headlight, somebody shows up, and they're a jogger, and they're running along. They don't always have lights on. Kind of weird. And then the sun starts coming up just a little bit. But, yeah, I used to get in here before the sun would come up on bike. That was fun. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll turn it back to Brad, KTPCV.
Yeah, we've talked about riding that bike trail because it's not too far from the house, but we've never done it. I really should get a trailer hitch put on my truck so I can get one of those bike racks, make it a lot easier to get the bikes there. I guess I could put them in the back of the truck, but I'll have to see if Karen wants to do that. I know that she's big into the Tour de France, and maybe when that starts, she might want to maybe convince her to go for a little bike ride.
Yeah, I don't have a bike rack. I just throw the bikes in the back of the truck and we go from there. I never did the one in Clarence. I don't know how far that one goes. If I'm mistaken, does that start in Akron, if I'm not believe, and that goes through Clarence? I don't even know where it ends. You know how far that one goes?
I want to say that one's like 17 miles. Used to ride that one a lot. It's actually, it used to be a Y shape, but now it's like a little bit of a modified X shape where it runs from Worley going towards Akron, and then right behind Leisurewood, the Y splits off, and when it's going west, it also goes out to Transit by Paltler's, the ice cream place on Transit there. So that was the original Y. But now, over towards Akron, there's another leg of it that takes you up to the town park. It brings you up sort of by, Skyline Road. And then that connects into the base leg of the Y. So, that's definitely a little more extensive. Another nice ride is the UB bike path. That's the fun one too. You know, that one's a little narrow in spots, but it's still good, and you can ride along Ellicott Creek for a little bit. But yeah, they're both nice rides. But I've got 6:43, so I'm going to have to break away from you guys. Quick one this morning. It's only a 3-day work week this week, and I'm liking that, so I'm going to get it started. This is K2PCB. I'll let you guys finish off. That sounds weird. Continue your conversation until you get to work, Russ.
All right, Travis, 73, see you at work. So, Brad, do you do much biking? I know maybe that's a thing you and Scott Schrader could get going on. I know Scott's actually been by